2 months ago, I attended the grand opening of the Roderick Art Space Lofts. And as I strolled down the spacious hallways, admiring artists' residences with their big windows and the clean, efficient space, I truly felt this is a dream come true for El Paso. Now, with me to discuss the reality of life in the Roderick Art Space Lofts are three local artists: Michelle Delgado, who also serves as president of the events committee, Loretta Lopez, who serves as public relations, ad manager, and treasurer, Aaron Torres, who is the business liaison, all for the Lofts, and joining us by phone from Minneapolis, Lucas Koski, who is the asset manager for Art Space. Welcome to all of you to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, Lucas, I'm going to begin with you, dear Lucas, because you are the big cheese. You're the one with the, the national art space presence or effort?
Yep. So Art Space is based in Minneapolis, and we got started by the city of Minneapolis making sure that artists who were getting displaced from gentrification had places to work.
Yes.
And that led to us in the late 80s building the first building that looks, when you squint a little bit, very much like the El Paso Roderick building, which is affordable housing for artists with some commercial spaces on the first floor. So after doing that first building, the Northern Warehouse in St. Paul in 1989, we have kind of spread across the country and are now operating about 50 spaces in about 20 states, including in lovely El Paso.
This is just a really exciting and innovative thing, especially because it makes an absolute connection between the economy and the arts when you've got a developer that's willing to base its entire effort on that premise, that the arts are that important. And you were a working artist at the time that you became involved with Art Space. Is this correct?
That is correct. And when I have the time, I still am. And very much not only was a working artist, but a former resident of an Art Space building as well.
Oh, excellent.
And so I really came to my current position with an understanding of how powerful, stable, creative, affordable space for artists can be and how much it can impact a community for the positive.
Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about your artistic form.
Sure. It took me a while to actually, I think, agree to the fact that I was an artist, like a lot of, you know, artists in this day and age. But I have a culinary background and then do a lot of event production. And then one thing that I'm really focused on is trying to provide resources and creative revenue streams to people and places that need it, whether or not that's creating a food hot dog shack on the middle of a frozen lake to raise funds for the art shanty projects in Minnesota here, or, you know, re-identifying what it means to experience rainfall at a museum. I'm always trying to think of different ways that we can experience kind of the extra special and the mundane at the same time.
So you have this culinary aspect, which there's so many aspects of life that people might not think of as being creative or artistic. So it's oftentimes the way the person applies it to life, and you obviously see it everywhere. And three people in front of me here in the studio obviously have very creative lives. Would each of you tell me a little bit about the type of work that you do? Let's start with you, Michelle.
I'm Michelle Delgado, and what I do is a variety of different art forms. I mainly am a fabric artist. I make what I like to call soft sculptures. That's figures and sculptures made with materials such as felt, fleece, cotton fabric, found fabrics. But I'm also a part-time illustrator, and I like to paint, and I've been playing music since I was 12 years old. So I don't know how many. Over 20-something years, I've been playing the bass guitar, so I've always had my hands in a little bit of art here and there.
Okay. Aaron, tell me about your creative life.
You know, very much like Michelle, I consider myself a multidisciplinary artist. And in fact, I consider myself a creator above anything. But my focus is in clothing design and in music, so I work for myself as a tailor and a designer. And actually living at Art Space has given me a platform to become self-employed again and do that full time. So it's been a really beautiful thing to take advantage of that opportunity.
Have all three of you held other jobs that were not related to your arts?
The main jobs I've had in the past were working in the school systems.
Okay.
As a tutor, as a substitute. And I actually still teach, but now I teach drawing to elementary kids.
Okay.
Part-time.
All right.
So I consider myself still a full-time artist, even though I do have this job that I go off to every couple times a week. Mm-hmm. But it's still in the arts, so I still feel like...
Education, very much a creative endeavor. Mm-hmm. Yes, I discovered that as I went along through life, and it's a very exciting form of creativity. And Loretta Lopez, tell us about your creative work.
I'm a visual artist, painter, mm-hmm. illustrator, children's book author and illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working in the arts for a really long time, 30 mm-hmm. years more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also kind of multidisciplinary like these guys, but more visual than mm-hmm. anything else.
Now, when I started reading up a bit on how people were selected for residency in the art space lofts, and Lucas, jump in here and correct me, please, if I get it wrong. But my impression at first was that you had to make the majority of your living through your artwork in order to qualify, and that's not correct. Is that true?
That's not true, no.
Okay. How is the selection made, and what's the criteria for living in the lofts, and are they fully occupied? What's the status of the... Actually, as you said, it's the three top stories of the building. And what's the total number of tenants?
So there are 51 units,
okay.
and I think somewhere around the neighborhood of 80 tenants. I don't know the exact number.
Okay.
But the criteria for living in the building, the building is actually majority financed through the low-income housing tax credit program.
Mm-hmm.
And we utilize what is called the artist preference. And what that means
okay.
is that we give preference to people who identify and are selected or agreed upon as artists
okay.
Over people who don't choose to apply that preference. So anybody can live in the building, but of course there is great and high demand. So people who are artists are given preference over others who are not. So okay. the only criteria to truly live in the space is to meet some of the income requirements, which gets kind of complex.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the artist side of it, one of the main kind of elevator pitch version of it is that you have to show a passion for and a commitment to art, however you might define it. And then the way that we kind of monitor that and all of the folks at the table went through is we have what's called an artist selection committee, which artists will show their portfolio and then answer a series of about 9 questions that helped us determine whether or not that individual does indeed have a passion for and a commitment to the arts.
But it's not all individual tenants. You have families in the building. I mean, this is not a singles project. It is a community. give us a glimpse of what daily life is like. What are the spaces you have available, the activities? How much do you interact with one another? What are some of the things that happen at the Roderick Art Space Lofts that might not happen in your average apartment complex, let's say?
So I think at first, when I first moved in, it was a little nervous. I didn't know what to expect. The building, the apartments themselves were enclosed. We're all closed in together. So I didn't really speak to people at first. Kind of just, you know, artists are sometimes more on the shy side. But after being there since January, I've made a lot of close friends on my floor and the other floors.
Uh-huh.
And so it's amazing waking up. I get to roll out of bed and just start working on art.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
I don't have to travel anywhere. And we have this group chat, and it's so amazing. If one of us is missing some kind of material, oh, I need a staple gun. And like 2-3 people just volunteer right away. So we use each other like for resources and or collaboration, and I really enjoyed that aspect of it.
Oh, talk about spooling up productivity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, my productivity personally in my art form has increased like 100%.
Wow.
Because I used to not have a space where I can work comfortably, so I would just go in, do a little bit of work, and it's too much clutter, too much distractions.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm able to, as some other residents, fully sustain myself mm-hmm. off of doing art.
Well, your first observation is very interesting to me because we have so much space El Paso has lots of space. Right. And so apartments are typically spread out to where you have a door to the outside. We're not used to this living in a hotel. More, it feels more like a hotel environment,
yes.
Whereas that arrangement is typical for many other parts of the country. So
right.
That's an interesting observation.
Well, for me, I was born and raised in El Paso, but then mm-hmm. I went away to study art, and I stayed away for over 30 years. And so I just recently came back a few years ago, and so I didn't know anyone. I mean, I knew a few people, but most of the people I went to high school with were gone a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so sort of moving back into El Paso as an older person was a little tricky. And, you know, when you're a visual artist, you tend to work by yourself. And so sort of was very isolated. And coming into art space has been a real boon for me because I've been able to meet other visual artists and, again, get sort of inspired by them and by the work that they're doing, or like the musical artists. You know, it's sort of funny that Aaron and Michelle and I are all right next door neighbors on the floor.
How nice.
But I met Aaron the very first night I spent in art space. He was the first person I met there. And it was, you know, he was playing music, you know, and it's been a really wonderful in that way. You know, Michelle's told me about shows and art things that I can get involved with.
Cross-pollination.
Exactly, which I would have never known about if I had still been living, you know, in the house that I had before. That, yes, it had a backyard, but it didn't have the engagement that stimulates creativity. And I moved, you know, I was in New York all this time, and so I really missed that. I mean, I'm used to living in apartment buildings and having that kind of exchange with people, not always artists. So moving into a place with artists has been just a real blessing.
Absolutely.
Very exciting.
Do we happen to know who is, you mentioned age, and so I'm just going to mm-hmm. ask, anybody know who is the oldest occupant in the building?
I do know the youngest occupant that's going to be
okay.
there. I'm expecting in February.
Oh, all right.
So he's going to be the art space baby, and
yeah.
I'm excited. Me and my boyfriend, he also lives in art space, and he's also a full-time artist.
Okay.
And we're excited to have him just grow up amongst
that,
all these
yeah.
artists and this environment. And you want to learn how to play drums? Well, let's get you some lessons from Junior. Or you want to learn to draw? Let's go talk to Loretta. And we're
oh.
just really excited for that. And there are other kids in the building, so that's yeah. exciting too.
He's going to have lots of tios and tias around to show him everything. Yeah. How about you, Aaron?
Well, absolutely. I think to answer your question, it is a very diverse building. And you know, I recently had somebody ask if it's kind of like the Animal House of art, you know, if it's a bunch of young people, like
food
a co-op.
Fights,
you know, and really it's not, you know, it's very much people that are committed to their work who are at times reclusive and in their bubble, you know, creating, where you see your friends or your neighbors in the hallway, and we understand each other's hustle. We understand what it's like to be a musician loading in and out, or to be an artist vending and loading in your work, and to have people that understand that consistent workflow and that consistent dedication to your work, that understand it, empathize with it, support it. I think that is incredibly beautiful. And in that, we also get to cross-pollinate opportunities with each other and bring about new people that could appreciate each other's work and cross-promote one another.
We are visiting with three residents of the Roderick Art Space Lofts here in El Paso, as well as Lucas Koski, who is the asset manager for Art Space, joining us from Minneapolis. We will be right back.